Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers weekly blog radio show. We have with us today Steve Cromer, who does the technical work and works on customer service, and I'm Janice Cromer, and I'm the director. For those non-members listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways are there, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA as we are known, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and a curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to give you information and enhance the overall experience of the Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. There's loads of information for members and non-members, and obviously we'd love for you to become a member. Please welcome our co-hosts this week, Jim and Lisa Favors. They are the editors of two very, very popular books on the Great Loop and cruising, When the Water Calls, We Follow, and very interesting. I'm sorry? And also Women on Board Cruising. Jim and Lisa are Gold Loopers and act as harbor hosts for Traverse City, Michigan. The subject of today's blog radio show is the advantages and or disadvantages of owning a smaller trailerable boat over a more sizable motor yacht. The Favors have owned both, and I think they're an ideal couple to tell us what they've experienced. If anyone would like to call in with a question for Jim or Lisa, or just a general comment, the toll-free number is 877-497-1815, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, Jim and Lisa, start, please, if you would, on the types of boats you've owned in the past.
Well, we've owned a number of boats, but I'll take us back to the point in time when we learned about the Great Loop, when we owned a 42-foot Silverton. That's the boat that we had when we learned about the Loop. And subsequent to being on the Loop, we found out about trawlers, and we bought a change boats and bought a 40-foot trawler. And subsequent to that, we've changed boats yet again to a 27-foot Ranger Tug trailerable boat.
And that's what you have now, correct?
And that's what we have now, yes, correct. And I guess today we're going to talk about the advantages and disadvantages of a trailerable boat versus a, I'm going to call it, non-trailerable boat, and why we changed our boating lifestyle. Is that correct?
Yes. There's been a lot of chatter in our discussion forum on the smaller boats and the amenities that can be had on them. So if you would address that too, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Well, let me take you back a little bit, if I could. Lisa and I sold our house when we were planning on doing the Great Loop in 2005. That's when I retired. Lisa retired a little bit before that. And we left on the Great Loop in September of 2005 for what we thought would be a nine-month trip. And it was a nine-month trip by the time we got back, and we had such a great experience and felt that there was way too much to see that we missed. So when we returned home after a short while, we continued our live aboard lifestyle and changed boats at that point in time to the trawler. And that 9-month plan trip turned into 5 years of living on board. So it was a great experience, and we enjoyed it immensely. In 2010, we had, after not owning a house for over 5 years, decided to buy a house again in our hometown of Traverse City, Michigan, and move back on land. And it was at that point in time that we decided that if we're going to spend, you know, 6 to 7, 8 months on land and 4 to 6 months on a boat someplace, that it may be more practical for us to change our boating lifestyle. And that's when we sold the trawler and we bought the 27-foot Ranger tug. So,
do you miss the trawler at all?
Do we miss the trawler? Yeah, we miss the trawler. It was a nice boat. It had a lot of space on it. And it was a Fathom 40. It had a pilot house, a little diesel engine, so it was good on fuel economy. So, yeah, we missed that. But, you know, we moved on. And it for us, and this doesn't fit everybody, it made more sense for us to have a smaller boat to do the kind of things that we wanted to do in our boating lifestyle, which I guess gets to why we made our change in boats. So I can address that if you'd like.
Sure, yes, please.
So in 2010, after we bought our house, we put our Fathom up for sale, and thinking that, you know, it probably would take a long time to sell in the economic climate of 2010, but lo and behold, it did sell quickly. And during that time, we were researching a trailerable boat. And we wanted to get a trailerable boat because we felt that we could return to places on the Great Loop that we didn't spend enough time on, or we could go to the places on the Great Loop that we did not get to visit, even though we were on the loop for 1 2/3 of times. Places like the Tennessee River, places like the west coast of Florida and the Keys, and we want to return to the Redo, and not Redo, go to the Redo, which you haven't been in, Lake Champlain, etc. The advantage to us, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, is that with a trailerable boat, we can leave our hometown and we can be in just about any of those places in a day, 2 days, 3 days, versus the time that it would take to get to it if we were floating down on the boat's own bottom.
Sure. How do you trailer it? Do you have a truck or...
Yeah, we have that would fall underneath a category of maybe a disadvantage. I mean, you've got to have the appropriate vehicle, which means you have to, if you don't have one, you've got to go out and buy one, new or used. But in our case, we have a 27-foot boat, 8.5-foot beam, and we need a 3/4-ton truck, diesel-y powered, to be able to tow it long distances. Now, if we were just going to tow it short distances, we probably wouldn't need that beefy of a truck. But because we're going to go from Michigan to Florida or Michigan to out west, we need a bigger truck to be able to do that. So, yeah, we had to get a truck. We can also, with the trailerable, why we changed is we can go to places that we've never been able to go to with the non-trailable boat, such as Lake Powell, which is in the middle of Utah and Arizona, or Lake Tahoe. Or
you did Utah, was it last year or the year before, did you not?
Yeah, last year we went to 2011. Actually, 2011, we went to, in the fall, we went to Lake Powell, and we also went to Lake Tahoe on our way back from the Pacific Northwest, and heading to the rendezvous in Joe Wheeler.
I remember some of the pictures you had. They were, it was just absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah, and we would not have been able to experience that in our prior trawler. Because we were able to get to, obviously, Lake Powell with that kind of a boat. So that's one of the advantages. I wrote a list of the advantages and disadvantages of both the trailerable boat and a non-trailerable boat. And I can go over those now if you like, or if you have questions.
Well, first, a couple of questions come to mind. Restrictions on highways on towing a boat of that size. Have you found it to be a problem, or is it pretty much allowed?
Well, there's a one of the key issues there is regulations state, and most states are the same, but some are a little bit different, but typically 8.5 feet is the maximum width that you can legally tow a boat without getting permits. If you have a boat wider than 8.5 feet, then you know you've got to get those permits. And if you're going from, say, Michigan to Florida, as an example, you have to get a permit for every state that you're traveling to if your beam is more than 8.5 feet. Now you.
Pretty critical that you keep it under that. I mean, it just makes it so much more convenient.
Yeah, exactly. So if you keep it 8.5 feet or under, which ours is 8.5 feet, then you don't have any restrictions on time of day, time of week, or navigating through cities. If it's wider than that, then you have to obviously abide by those rules, which kind of limits you. So 8.5 feet would be the key if you're going to be towing it long distances. If you're just going to tow it short distances, well, within your own state, then I would say it's not a problem. I'd get that wider boat.
I think we'll break for a commercial, and after that, Jim, if you would go through your lists. And Lisa, I have a question for you when we come back. So, Steve, can you please play the commercial?
Yep.
Thank you.
Barber Marina is a new world-class marina located on the Intracoastal Waterway at Daymarker 74, just north of the city of Orange Beach, Alabama. Marina amenities include concrete floating dock, wet slips that accommodate vessels to 125 feet, a 350-slip dry storage building capable of handling boats up to 42 feet, a ship store, gasoline and high-speed diesel pumps, restrooms, showers, laundry facilities, Wi-Fi internet service, pump-out facilities, 24-hour security, 24-hour video surveillance, a hurricane storage plan, and a full-service boatyard. For more information, visit www.barbermarina.com or call 251-987-2628. Barber Marina is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, just quick question, Lisa. How do you feel as far as the amenities go on the trailerable boat? Can you manage everything you need to do? Are you still working or editing anything?
As far as the amenities on the boat, I'm really happy. The Ranger Tug has really everything our bigger trawler had, and just in a much smaller space, but. It has an iPod dock. It has an inverter. It has, a little kitchen, much smaller. It has bow and stern thrusters. Really everything. I think there was just one thing that it didn't have that our bigger boat had. Washer dryer.
Well, that's a luxury a lot of the trawlers, other trawlers don't have, so you have to live without it. Have you had problems finding laundry facilities in the places that you go to?
Almost every marina has laundry facilities, and some of them are very nice. I'm always saying the best laundromat I ever went to was at Cooley's Marina in Fort Lauderdale. It's like a laundromat. It, you know, it's got a TV, it's got lots of washers and dryers, and it's never full. So
fantastic.
It's one of my favorite places to go to. But, you know, because of because we're not living on the boat anymore, a lot of our trips are shorter, so we're not doing as much laundry, I don't think. Sometimes
yeah.
near the end of the trip, we just kind of save stuff until we get home.
Uh-huh. Jim, do you want to go over your list? Have we missed a lot, or please go ahead.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Janice.
Did you want to go over your list so we don't miss anything?
Oh, sure. Let's start with the non-trailerable boats, and that would cover just about every category. I think the advantages of the non-trailerable boat, first and foremost, is that obviously they are a lot roomier than a trailerable boat. So that means, if you translate that, that you can have more guests either at dock or traveling with you in a non-trailerable boat. If you look at that on a trailerable side, you can also look at that as an advantage from the trailerable boat that maybe you don't want to have guests. So it just depends on how you look at that. You've got more storage in a non-trailerable boat. You can carry a larger dinghy in a non-trailerable boat. And here's a key issue, as we're all keenly aware, for those that have been on the loop. When you're doing that trip, you know, you're together a lot with your spouse or significant other. And on a non-trailable boat, you've got what I call a lot of spousal separation space available to you if you so choose. You don't quite have that on a trailable boat, which means that you probably better have a good relationship, which we do. So a non-trailable boat is typically more comfortable, has more capacity for fuel, for water, for holding tanks, et cetera. And I'm sure there's other items that are make it more advantageous than a smaller boat. But if we go to the trailerable boat, it's less expensive in a lot of cases. Yeah, sure, you can buy a non-trailable boat that's less expensive if it's a used one than a trailable boat, but typically a trailable boat is less expensive. There's less cost involved for insurance, maintenance on an ongoing basis, and, you know, on a day-to-day basis, when you're cleaning, it takes a lot less time to wash a 27-foot boat than it does a 45-foot boat. It's less expensive for storage, winter storage, or you can store it in your yard, driveway, on your trailer. It's less expensive for dockage, and typically it's better fuel economy depending on the boat. For us, the trailerable boat, because we've lived on a boat for 5 years, it made sense to us because it gives us, at our stage, and maybe for a lot of other people, that you know, maybe this is the better way for them to go, and for whatever reason. But for us, it just gives us, and our post-loop, or even during the loop, I suppose, we can trailer to new destinations that we could not get to in a larger boat because it has a shallower draft, or we can return to places that we did not get to visit on the loop, and we can get there in a day or 2 days or 3 days by towing the boat. Examples might be the Florida Flats, west of Key West. You cannot get into the Florida Flats unless you've got a draft of about 2.5 feet, 3 feet, and most of the boats on the loop in the non-trailable trailerable would have a 4 or 4.5 foot draft. So there's a place that we visited last winter that we could not have visited prior to that.
What is your draft, Jim?
It's 24 inches.
It's amazing to me, anyway.
So we can get some shallow places for anchoring and for cruising and for sightseeing.
Uh-huh.
I think for resale value, there's a larger pool of potential buyers for the trailer of a boat. So I think there's an advantage there as well. One of the perplexities that people may wonder about if you're trailering your boat from, let's say, Traverse City, Michigan, down to Green Turtle Marina at Grand Harbor, Kentucky, like we did this last fall, that's a 700-mile trip. We typically can't make 700 miles in one day. We're 400 miles, 500 miles tops when we're trailering. So what do we do when we, in between? Well, we can stay at a hotel. That's number one. But we typically don't do that. We use our boat as an RV. We stay at campgrounds, and we sleep in the boat, and we just use it like an RV. So that's an obstacle that maybe some people haven't thought about. We call it boater homing. And we didn't come up with that. We copied that phrase from somebody else. I have a couple more things, but maybe stop a second, see if you have some questions, Janice or Steve.
Just my only one question. Do you have a dinghy, or do you just not bother with it?
No, we do have a dinghy. Because our boat's 8.5 foot wide, it's a small dinghy. It's like only 8 or 7.5 feet long, so
uh-huh.
It's pretty lightweight, and it's a two-person dinghy. But, yeah, we have a dinghy. We wouldn't want to be out there without one.
Uh-huh.
What does the Ranger Tug weigh?
That's a good question. The boat and trailer, I think, come in at around 11,000, 12,000 pounds, somewhere in that area. So I think the boat by itself with provisions on it is somewhere in the 9,000, 9,500 range. And I'm just talking off the top of my head. I've got it written down someplace.
No, I just wanted anybody that was listening to have some idea how, you know, what you were going to have to tow.
Yeah, when you get into that weight, a four-wheel drive, that's kind of important, and I think to have a diesel power is pretty important as well in a three-quarter ton truck. New or used makes no difference. That's for towing long distance, of course, through the mountains and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're going from your home to the boat ramp, you don't need as heavy of a truck, as I mentioned earlier.
Thank you.
I've got a few more things. We've written a lot about our trailering adventures, the planning stages of it, from the standpoint of researching boats and researching trucks and
uh-huh.
trailers and boating destinations. And if anybody wanted to, research more of what we've done and maybe save themselves a little bit of time, they can go to our Trailer Trawler Life blog, and on our blog, they can search there. And there's also a link to our Boat US articles that we write. And we write two articles a month for Boat US, and we've been doing that for about 5 years. And that started when, Janice, you referred us to Boat US to write about the Great Loop, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So they can research those articles. Next summer, we're going to be taking a four-month trip on our trailable boat. We're going to tow it out west, and we're going to go to the Flaming Gorge in Utah, Wyoming, and then up to the Pacific Northwest and up into Canada on a four-month adventure before we return to Joe Wheeler in October.
That sounds like it would be fantastic. How far into Canada do you plan to go?
There's a place called Desolation Sound, which is probably, I'm not sure, maybe 150 miles, 200 miles up into Canada.
Uh-huh.
Not real far. We're not going to Alaska or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you better be at Joe Wheeler. We'll miss you if you don't make it.
Well, our plan is to be at Joe Wheeler.
Right.
Absolutely. Anybody out? Do you have any questions, Janice or Steve or Lisa or myself on trailering exploits or advantages or disadvantages?
I think you basically answered it. Would you do it again? Would you trade down smaller? And it sounds like you definitely would.
Yeah, we're excited to be taking our trailer boat and going to places that on the loop that we did not get to visit. And that's why we went from a 9-month trip and took off again, because there was a lot of places that we never were able to visit. The Rideau we haven't been to, Lake Champlain we haven't been to. You know, we'd like to do the Hudson again. We'd like to do the Trent Severn again. We went back to the North Channel last summer with our trailable boat. We did part of the Tennessee River this last year from Grand Harbor to, I'm sorry, Green Turtle down to Joe Wheeler in Rogersville. And we did the Florida West Coast down to the Keys as well, all on the trailable boat.
Uh-huh. Is there anything on the social side that you miss with a smaller boat? I mean, do you still participate in the docktails and see other loopers in the air? Well, I guess you're going to places that are a little bit out of the way.
Yeah, well, you know, boaters are boaters, and you know, we fly our Burgee, and when we're in Canada or we're someplace else and we're not on the loop, we still, you know, we'll run into people all the time, and it's an instant social connection, I think. But when we're out west and you know, there's other boating organizations, trailerable organizations, if you will, that we belong to, that create that social network as well.
Well, that's good. Lisa, do you have anything to add?
Hi, Janice. I guess the only thing is that when we first got the idea to get the trailerable boat, I was concerned if how much it was going to change for us, and it only took about a week or so after we picked up our boat, and it did not change for us the sense of adventure or anything about how we boat. I mean, everything was a little bit smaller, and that was a little bit of an adjustment, but as far as boating, it did not change our feelings about it or anything. In fact, it made us even widen our perspective on boating, because now we can go anywhere in the United States and Canada. So I was very pleased that it turned out that way.
Well, I'm happy for you, and there's a lot of people out there that agree with you. Steve, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I think the only thing that we didn't talk about is, what did you finally settle on for a truck, Jim?
The truck that we settled on, you can get in a lot of big arguments with a lot of people about trucks
and
people's loyalties, but we decided on a GMC for various reasons. They had the Duramax diesel, which we wanted the diesel. And that engine's been around for, I think, about 12 years now, and we wanted... So we were happy with the results of the performance of that diesel. It was truck of the year. Well, the Chevrolet was truck of the year that year. So GMC by association would have been as well. We wanted American made. That was important for us. And for us, it's, you know, the truck is even made in Michigan. That was even more important for us. And, you know, the Ford is a good truck. The Dodge is a good truck if you're looking at, you know, those others as competition. But Ford had just changed their diesel to a new diesel, and it's probably a good diesel engine, but I didn't want to take, any risk with a brand new engine in their truck. And nothing wrong with the Dodge, but their 3/4 ton is not made in the United States. With the diesel engine in a 4-wheel drive, 3/4 ton. So I was more interested in the GM product because of that.
Jim and Lisa, we have a guest that called in and have a question for you.
Yes, this is Dennis Henderson. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Dennis. Uh-huh.
Yes, it's actually kind of a statement as well as a question, maybe. I don't know if you've seen the same advantage. I have a trailerable boat as well, about a 28-foot that I use right now. But one of the things we're doing is we're doing the Great Loop, but we're doing it in sections, a piece at a time. And a big advantage that I see, and I wondered if you'd seen the same thing, is the ability to put in at one location and not have to backtrack, in other words, to pick out at a different location. I didn't hear that advantage. Over.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Dennis. That really is a good advantage, and we have used that whenever we have been able to. An example is we put in Tarpon Springs last winter, and we cruised all the way down to, eventually to the Keys, but we retrieved our boat, our truck. We went back up. Someone gave me a ride back up to Tarpon Springs from Fort Myers Beach, and we retrieved our truck and brought it back down and put it back on the trailer and towed it elsewhere. So, yeah, that's an advantage. It's a little bit of work, but we found in the boating community, if you let your desires be known that you're trying to retrieve something, someone's usually there to help.
Yeah, last summer we put in at Rochester, New York, on Lake Ontario, and went through the Trent Severn, and were able to actually take our boat up through to Georgian Bay and around back down to Detroit where we live. So that,
sure.
And that way, and then we went, basically had the vessel or the trailer was brought back to our home, so it was easy then to take the boat back to the backyard.
Right. Yeah, and typically not more than a day's ride from where you started in that kind of boating. I know when we were in Rogersville last fall, we rented a car for a day and we drove back up to Grand Rivers, Kentucky, to pick up our truck and trailer and bring it back down so we could put it back on the boat when the rendezvous was over. So you can rent a car as well for a day, and then you're typically not more than a day away anyway.
Right. I wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dennis.
Okay,
thanks, Dennis.
Okay, I think it's time to close unless someone else has something to say. Jim and Lisa, you've obviously done a lot of research and a lot of preparation for this show. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you, Jim.
No, we're good. Unless anybody has any questions later on, they can get a hold of us through the blog, AGLCA, or Trailer Trawler Life, our blog. Be glad to help any way we can.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget,
our shows are archived on our webpage. They're available through Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. And just a plug for our rendezvous. The spring rendezvous is coming up in May. Registration is going very nicely. There is a price increase on February 1st. So if you know you're coming, I highly recommend you register before the 1st. Thank you all, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jim and Lisa. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.